Going to be reading this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. Faith is one of those things that should take away all fear. But you know, there are people that fear such things as crossing bridges, for example. Like, I don't know how many of you have been up there and crossed it. The Mackinac Bridge in Upper Michigan, it's 5 miles long, 200 feet above the water, and there are people that are terrified to go across that bridge. So the state of Michigan has got a group of people that will actually get in your car and drive you across the bridge. Apparently, also, the bridge that goes across Maryland's Chesapeake Bay is a little over 4 miles, also 200 feet above the water, and they offer the same service. Because people are so fearful, they either won't get on the bridge, or they'll try it and get partially across and panic and stop and block traffic. So it just made sense for them to find people that would help them get through this. Fear is a terrible thing. Fear comes from an old English word, fear, spelled F-A-E-R as opposed to F-E-A-R, meaning sudden danger. It refers to fright, where fright is justified. It refers to danger that is concrete, real, and knowable. And in such cases, fear is appropriate and sometimes useful if one is to escape harm. You've heard the term fight or flight. But sometimes we are afraid out of proportion to the actual dangers we face. There was an interview of Steve Allen once, and were talking about different things, about fear, and the interviewer mentioned that the two things that men fear the worst are falling and loud noises. And he asked Steve Allen, he said, so what are your greatest fears? And Steve Allen, without missing a beat, said, I have a great fear of making a loud noise while falling. Fear is a terrible thing. Many of us would give our right arm to have some fears taken away from us. Bruce Larson tells about a man who had a terrible hallucination about creatures living under his bed. You remember when you were young, you probably thought there was people or creatures living under your bed. This guy was an adult and terrified that there was things under his bed, and they would come out at night and terrorize him. So he's telling this friend of his, but my brother fixed it for me. He says, oh, is your brother a psychiatrist? He goes, no, he's a carpenter. He cut the legs off of my bed. That would take care of that. There are all kinds of solutions to fear, but St. Paul is giving us the most helpful thing about fear. He writes to Timothy, and this is from the New International Version. Sounds a little bit different than the New Revised Standard I read earlier. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to the holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. God did not give us a life of timidity. We're not supposed to be shy about things. We're supposed to be faithful and forthright. And Paul talks about three things: power, love, and self-discipline. And those are really good descriptors behind faith. Faith gives us power, faith provides us with love, and faith should provide us with some self-discipline. And I know there's people out there that are shy, which makes them timid. I've mentioned before that if you'd have known me 12 years ago or longer, you couldn't have paid me enough to stand up in front of a crowd. I was that shy. I didn't associate with other people much. I had acquaintances, but not anybody that I really did a lot with. I was very shy. But here I am because God gave me the power to be up here. He gave me the spirit and the strength to do it. And that's a part of faith. They believe about 4 in every 10 people in the United States suffer from being shy, different degrees, out of fear for whatever, social situations or other people. And people just are shy or timid. But then there's the other side of that. There are people that are very courageous and not afraid to get out there in the world and do things and do whatever needs to be done. They have great convictions because of their faith. And St. Paul was one of those. He conquered his timidity. He was bold, adventurous, lived his life to the fullest when he wasn't chained to the floor in a prison. So we need to listen to Paul's words when he says that being timid is not God's will for us. God wants us to vanquish our timidity by giving us a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. So let's look at those three things. Beginning with power, what does power mean? What does power come from? Some of it is by birthright. Some people are just born into it, like the Kennedys, for example. And what they do with it is however they live their life. They can increase the power or diminish the power. Some people earn their power by achieving prominence in society. For example, Bill Clinton and Newt Gingrich, they grew up in small life. They weren't into a rich family. They weren't popular. They made their power through attaining political office. So there's different kinds of power. There's power that you're born into. There's power that you acquire. And the power, in a lot of ways, has to do with your mission. What your mission is in bringing people to Christ. Anyone who is driven by a mission is driven by power. I know most of you know who Eleanor Roosevelt is. We've talked about her a little bit before. She was an extremely shy person. But during the Depression, as Franklin Roosevelt's wife, she managed to get past that because of her conviction to help others. She would visit coal mines, hospitals, squatters' camps. She traveled around the world and spoke with kings, presidents, and other people. During her husband's presidency, she was kind of the unofficial ambassador to the world and the devil's advocate to his conscience and the conscience of a nation. After her husband's death, with no official capacity, she continued to be a spokesperson for dozens of causes. And when President Truman appointed her to the newly formed League of Nations, Henry Cabot Lodge gave her what was considered an inconsequential committee concerned with human rights. And she actually helped form the Bill of Human Rights when the United Nations was formed. So this was a particularly shy person who made a great impact on the world. And then the next thing is love. Love is that thing that focuses our mission on something in particular. Paul knew about the dangers of mission. I mean, after all, in his early life, he was on a mission to destroy Christians. But then he met Christ, and he found a mission not of persecution, but of redemption. He found out about love, about focusing his mission on growing the church. There are other people in our modern times that do things similar to that. A guy named Bill Tomes in Chicago. This was a guy that he really didn't have a lot to do. He wasn't a religious man, but he was in a church praying. Not sure what brought him to the church, but he was in the church praying. And while he was praying, he passed out. Not sure why. But as he was coming to, he heard the voice of God. It said, "Love, you are forbidden to do anything other than this." He knew God had talked to him there, passed out while he was praying as he was coming back to consciousness. This man sold everything he had and decided he was going to help people in the poor neighborhoods, the gang neighborhoods, and try and make their lives better. He wanted to love them the way God loves us. Strangely enough, he has survived 53 gang gun battles. Bullets whizzing past him, and has never gotten a scratch. That's God. Because God had him on a mission of love and gave him the power to fulfill that mission. He helps them still today, and he offers things like love and support, gives people advice, gives them rides, buys them food, bails them out of jail, listens to their problems. He found a young man with a bullet wound in the bottom of a stairwell one day. The young man was not going to make it. So he held him in his arms and loved this young man, talked to him about God's love. And I'm sure the young man passed on peacefully because of that. The man had a mission. And all these things, remember, are tied to faith. If you go out on this mission with power and love, it's because you have faith that God's going to take you through whatever it is he takes you to. And the last thing is self-discipline. It's sad when you see somebody that does have power and they're not disciplined, and we can see that today on the news every day. All this nonsense that's going on in Washington, those people are not self-disciplined. They're not worried about me and you. They're worried about furthering their careers and doing whatever they can to get their way. That's not self-discipline. Peter the Great in Russia was one of those types. He was powerful, but not self-disciplined. He hurt lots of people, including killing one of his own sons. Toward the end of his life, he said, "I have conquered an empire, but I was not able to conquer myself." And that's sad. Power without love is dangerous. Power without self-discipline is even more dangerous. There is one who gives us perfect power, perfect love, and will help you with self-discipline. And that's Christ. Christ is there for you. All you have to do is believe. You have a little faith that Christ is there with you and going to help you through it. Remember, he talks about a mustard seed? This is a mustard seed. I know it's kind of far away for you to see, but it's tiny. And it grows into a great big tree. And when you have faith, you can take something like that and grow it into a great big tree. And the main thing that Paul is getting at here, telling Timothy to keep the faith, remember his teaching, was to get out into the world and help others. Get out into the world and make others disciples of Christ. And that is our mission as Methodists. We are to be disciples of Christ, and we are to make disciples of Christ. And what Paul's getting at here is, don't be shy about it. I know one of the common sayings is, never talk about politics and religion. Politics, maybe. But you should always be willing to talk about religion. You should always be willing to talk about Christ, your church, the things that God has done for you. And you should have faith that God and the Holy Spirit will put the words in your mouth to help others, convince others. And yeah, you're going to get the occasional person that's going to persecute you or say nasty things to you because you talked to them about Christ. But hey, that's just a part of it. You know, we always talk about how God is omnipotent, omnipresent, can do all things. Do you know there's one thing that God can't do? There's one thing that God can't do. Paul tells us that it is, if we are faithless, he remains true, for he cannot deny himself. The one thing God can't do is deny himself, which means he cannot deny us. If you have faith in him, even if your faith is weakened, he's always there. He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to leave you to your own designs. He's going to help you. He's going to get you through it. He cannot deny himself. God cannot turn his back on his children. We are his children. Because if he turned his back on us children, that would be a denial of his character. He can't do that. It's the one thing that Paul tells us he cannot do. Faith is one of those things that you have to ultimately 100% rely on. You have to have faith. And through faith, you get power. Through faith, you experience love. And through faith, you get disciplined. And all this ties into our dealings with the world. Making disciples of others. There's a popular gospel song that I really like, and I'm going to read you the lyrics to it. It's called What Faith Can Do. Some of you may be familiar with the song. It says, everybody falls sometimes. Got to find the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. Anyone can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take. But you're stronger, stronger than you know. It says, don't give up now. The sun will soon be shining. I got to fix the clouds to find the silver lining. I've seen dreams that move mountains, hope that doesn't never end, even when the sky is falling. I've seen miracles just happen, silent prayers get answered, broken hearts become brand new. Yes, that's what faith can do. It doesn't matter what you've heard, impossible is not a word. It's just a reason for someone not to try. Everybody's scared to death when they decide to take that step out on the water, but it'll be all right. Life is so much more than what your eyes are seeing. You will find your way if you keep believing. Overcome the odds when you don't have a chance. That's what faith can do. When the world says you can't, it'll tell you that you can. So even if you fall sometimes, you will have the strength to rise. It's a beautiful song, and I love the lyrics to that because that just really tells all about faith. Faith can do amazing things, and faith can help you to increase your belief, increase your faith. It gives you power through the Holy Spirit. It gives you love for others through the Holy Spirit. It helps you live your life in a self-disciplined manner. And the ultimate goal here is to get out into the world and make new disciples and further God's kingdom. Amen.